this month. We will have a baptism, a baptismal service. If you receive the newsletter, you know that. But anyone who desires to be baptized, please call me or the church office, and we will go out in the afternoon and make a day of it, an afternoon out of it, and really celebrate as a community, which we've done for the last 3 or 4 years. And Mr. and Mrs. Beck have opened their home so that we can meet on the west side over there and use their pool and spend the afternoon together in good fellowship. You know, in the early church baptized people, they didn't have baptismal fonts or even tubs, but they just went down to the river or went to a place where there was plenty of water and just immersed them under. And one of the reasons that that people haven't continued that practice is that there aren't enough rivers and enough swimming pools. But now we've got rivers and swimming pools again, so there's plenty of water available. So Luther often said, he said, you know, Lutherans sprinkle like many others do. He said, it's not how much water you get on you, but he said, actually, if you read the original language, you see that die Taufe in the German or baptizo in the Greek actually means to put under all the way. So it's a better symbol. It doesn't make you more saved. It's just a better symbol for the death and resurrection of the old believer. So it's a public declaration to the world that we have gone from one life to another. Amen. So on the 19th, that'll be 2 weeks from today, we will have a baptismal service, and you're all invited to come to that. Okay. Have I done everything? I think I have. Yes. I think that's at 2 o'clock. I think it's at 2 o'clock. All right, we'll begin. Okay, I want you to turn to Exodus. Chapter 15. I'm not preaching on this because I haven't preached on it before. I've preached on this several times, but in the middle of the night, the Lord woke me, and he told me to preach on this. I'd been preparing, but this is what he told me to preach on, was that God is a glory getter. God is a glory getter. I didn't make that word up. God gave it to me, just that God's a glory getter. In other words, God wants to get glory everywhere. And if you listen closely to the words today and the songs that we sang, although not rehearsed at all, God is after glory. God wants to get glory over Pharaoh, over Baal, over Nebuchadnezzar, over the wind and the storms and the sea, over Satan, over Rome, over everything. God wants to prove that there is no other God. Now, the people of God in the Old Testament were put under every nation. Every nation got a chance to gobble them up at some point. So God's people have learned how to be in bondage. And never was it thrilling. Not once did they enjoy the whip. It's funny people. Not once did they enjoy being restricted. Not once did God's people enjoy the dominion of glorious Babylon, or wonderful Persia, or marvelous Rome. Somehow, God does not want his people in Egypt, or Assyria, or under any form of government, whether it's visible or invisible. And in the New Testament, of course, the big enemy is not Rome, but the enemy is Satan, the one who is behind all the dominions of this world. And God says, I don't want to share my glory with anyone. And no one else is going to get any glory because no one else can bear it. Satan is unable to handle glory. He misuses it. The people of this world cannot handle wealth, glory, light, joy, happiness without being born again. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The people of this world don't know how to do that because sin has blinded us and has caused us always to use glory for ourselves, and it never works, not even for ourselves. And so God is out to get glory, not only because it's evil for you to do so, not only because of that, but also because you just can't flat do it. Nobody can bear glory. It's not possible. They can't wear it. Now, there's many names for glory in the Bible. Probably about 30 names, even though it's translated with one English word, glory. It has many understandings in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it usually means doxa. Can you say that? Doxa, from which we get our word doxology. You've at least heard that word. It's a Latin word. But the doxology, but it means the glorying of God. It means the glorying of God. Now, doxa is, and there's a couple other Greek words, but in the Old Testament there are many, many words having to do with glory. One of them means weight, kind of a heaviness. Glory is a heavy thing. And God is saying there's nobody that has the shoulders that can bear the heaviness of glory. It's a heavy thing. But if you're in Jesus, it's light. Because Jesus says, my burden is what? Light. And my yoke is easy. Now, Jesus has the kind of shoulders that can wear glory. He is the only one, and that's why he's called the King of Glory. Behold, the King of Glory. And there's a psalm that celebrates the King of Glory, Psalm 24. And that's a beautiful name, the King of Glory. And this weight, also there's another name, and that's that it's called a light. So this sounds the opposite. How could light be heavy? And yet in the Bible, glory is both light, bright, brilliant, beautiful in fact. Pa'ar is the word for beautify. But it's also heavy. It's like the glory of God is something not easily born, in fact impossible to bear for man. Man cannot carry it or hold it. So light is heavy. Doesn't make sense, but it's the way it is in the Bible. That beauty is a very heavy thing. Have you tried to be beautiful? How many here have tried to be beautiful? I want all the ladies to raise their hand, you know. We want to be beautiful, but beauty is a thing of God. It's an inner quality. It's too heavy for the human being to carry. To be beautiful is destructive when man gets a hold of it. He can't use it properly. He becomes inordinate. He doesn't know how to keep it or hold it without the Lord. So glory is not only heavy, it's not only a weight, the eternal weight of glory, Paul says. There is an eternal weight of glory awaiting those that love the Lord. But it's also something light and precious and beautiful. But there are many, many other words. Kabed means weight or heavy, and the verse there is, I will be glorified before the people. God says, I will be kabed. I will be kabed before my people. I will be glorified. I will be heavy. I'll be opaque. I'll be something thick before my people. I will actually receive glory. Another word is adir or chadar. There's several words here. That means honor. So to glorify God means to honor him. That's another way that we are to honor God. That glorifies God. Another word is hud. This means beauty or light, very similar to pa'ar. Another word, tsebi, that means desire, that God wants to be desired, lifted up, exalted, adored, worshipped, desired. That too is another word that's translated glory. Or tipara, again, the word beauty. There's a lot of words here that have to do with something beautiful or glorious or splendid or lovely and so on. In other words, ga'a, this is the word used when Moses said, God hath triumphed triumphantly, ga'a. God hath triumphed in a triumphant manner. It's translated, God hath triumphed gloriously, but the Hebrew word is ga'a. God hath triumphed in the most triumphant way. So there's another word for glory, that God is a triumphant God, majestic, triumphant, risen up. Another word, tohar, means purity. That glory is something pure, like gold. Glory is something very pure. You know, when gold is pure, it's transparent. So God is glorious, that is transparent. So all these words are strange to us, and there are many more. There's yakar, which means precious or rare. The glory of God is so rare that man can't have it. You cannot possess glory. It's not for man to possess glory. Now, the Bible, even stronger than that, God says in Isaiah chapter 42, if you're in the Bible, you might underline this. Isaiah chapter 42, starting at verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory, kabod, will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. In other words, God said, I will never share my glory. God will not give his glory to Pharaoh or Nebuchadnezzar or Caesar or some local pastor or some pope or some king or some anyone. God will not share his glory. It's all his. He wants all the glory, all the praise, all the exaltation, and everything else is vain, empty, and must be humbled, broken down, and put on its right level. Now, not put below its right level, but put at its right level. God will not have any other mountain but his. He can't stand to have someone else rise up and say, I am great. How great I am. You know, he won't allow you to sing that, not because your voice isn't nice, it's just because it ain't true. You're not great, and you're not able to bear greatness, glory, light, beauty, preciousness, rarity. You are vain apart from God. Now, if God doesn't share his glory, how do we get in on glory? This is most interesting, because here he clearly says in the Old Testament, I will not share my glory, even with the angels. I won't share it with anyone else. God alone is glorious, but there is a way. There is a way. And even the angels, who are glorious because they are with the Lord, even the angels never receive this glory. And that glory belongs to us. And that is, the secret is that God does share his glory in this way. You can never be glorious except this way, that you are in him. That's the secret, is that God is glorified in you. God will not be glorified just in the universe, but he most of all has chosen you, in which, through which, to which he would glorify himself. In other words, he wants you to see his glory and to show forth his glory. Now, this is a great secret, because in the Old Testament, the people of God could not share God's glory. Now, God lived in the midst of them, that is, physically he was with them, but he was not in them. That is, in each man, they weren't born again individually. But God dwelt with them, and insofar as God was in their midst, and there was no Ichabod, Ichabod means the glory has departed from Israel, insofar as God was present with them, they were God's people. So the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God, which dwells on the earth in his temple, is in his people, is in you, because your bodies are the temple of the living God. Now, that's why your body was made. This physical body was made to glorify God. The works that you do, the way that your eyes look, the way your feet go, what your hands do. Some have learned to worship God with their hands. It doesn't matter whether you feel like doing it or not. God likes you to lift your hands in praise unto him. It just glorifies God. It may not turn you on, and you may even feel embarrassed and vulnerable. It's sort of like, I give up, I surrender, Well, that's what God wants. He wants you to give up and surrender and stop containing yourself. You see, the opposite is that, we sort of fold our hands or hold ourselves in stiff. But God wants us to surrender, to acknowledge his glory, to praise him. And when we lift our hands like this in a physical way, it blesses God. It doesn't matter what goes through your head at that time. I don't really mean it, or I'm not really feeling it, or that kind of stuff. All that matters is that you're obedient to God in faith, you raise your hands unto him, it glorifies God. God is glorified by that. You say, well, this is kind of silly. I wonder how this glorifies God. Well, you may not understand, because your thoughts are not God's thoughts. And his thoughts are high above yours. And what you account as something very small, God accounts as something very great. It's amazing. God is funny that way. God likes to take things that are nothing and make them into something. Now, we're not just saying that to make a ridiculous point. That's what the Bible says. God likes us to speak in tongues, to raise our hands, to wave banners. It's silly to us. Yeah, I feel funny doing that. You know, I'd rather do something more sophisticated, more becoming my state, you know, my station, you know. But God doesn't like that kind of talk. So he says, get down to your right size and I'll fill you with the glory of God, because if you vaingloriously build yourself up, then I can't do other than be just and put you down. I must triumph over you then. And my desire is to triumph with you, in you, by you, through you. Now God then triumphs, glorifies himself, where? In us. To whom? Before the nations. God wants to glorify himself today before the nations, so that they might come to the glory of God, and their glory, which is vainglory, empty glory, might be removed. If there's any pride in you, it's going to go. Now I want to make this very practical. It's all been kind of theological and interesting and amen and amen. But let's make it very practical. This is where it counts. This is where it fits. The minute you hear the word of God, it's like a vision comes to you. And that vision awakens in you a certain picture. And you think to yourself, let's take an example. Let's say you read the 15th chapter of John. And in there it said in the 8th verse, it said that, let's read that. John 15:8. You know why I'm turning to it? Because I can't remember it. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Now that's a vision, or a picture, or a word that comes, and when I hear that, something happens. Either I don't like it, or I like it. I believe it, I don't believe it, and so on. So here comes this word, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Well, now that's a vision. That's a picture. That's something that catches me. And I say to myself, by golly, I believe that. I believe God is glorified when I bear much fruit. But now what? Now, if I'm a believer, I hear that word, that vision, and immediately I believe in that, and then I set my will. I say to myself, I desire to be such a person. Now, you see, before that word came, I didn't even know about it. I didn't even know about bearing fruit. I was just eating the goodies. You know, I was just taken from God. Just bless me all you want, God. I'll take it. I was just taken in the blessings and the salvation and all the wonderful things. God heals me, prospers me, blesses me. You know, he just loves me. I like that part. But now all of a sudden it says in here, but herein is God glorified. Not only that you receive that, that too is God's glory, and first of all, and that's a basis, by the way, but also then, as you receive, you will bear fruit. Because those that receive will bear fruit. It's an automatic thing. If you really receive from God, you can't help but give. So God says, this is my glory. Why? Because glory is like this. This is the word glory. It means ever more manifested, ever more public, ever more visible. In other words, God's glory is something in himself, and he, even though he's glorious in himself, if nobody sees it, it's not fully glorious. It's like it must be that even Satan, that even the wicked will have to glorify God, whether they like it or not. God's got it in himself. But he won't just keep it in himself. Everything that he's created has to glorify him. You see, even the wicked, even those that hate him, they will have to someday bow the knee and confess and say, Jesus is Lord. They will have to glorify God in Jesus, and they will have to glorify God in Jesus in us, the wicked. Because it's God's will. That's the temple, that's the house, that's the building That's the way God wants to manifest, make glorious, make public, make seen, make known, made manifest the sons of God. Now that's what glory is. So glory is a publicness of God's beauty, his inner beauty, his weight, his holiness, his light, his joy, his love, his all his attributes. When they come out and are seen and are acknowledged and praised, that's glory. So God is in an ever-increasing missionary project to reach out unto the uttermost ends of the earth, because the whole earth is filled with the glory of God from heaven's point of view, and you will see it. It's there now, and we, by faith, see it now, but the world doesn't see it. The world does not see the glory of God. The world seeks its own glory. There are many who are still in love with this world. They believe that bread makes happiness. They believe that to eat makes for happiness. I hope you know that eating does not make for happiness. That is, taking care of yourself, that does not bring happiness. There are multitudes of people in this world that have bread enough and they are not happy. Now, the others that don't have bread feel, if only I could get bread. If only America would send enough wheat. If only, you know, in Russia, that's their one thought. The Russian people have one thought, bread, food. Because of so many failures in their crops and so on and so forth, they only have, when they stand in line for one thing, bread. They don't want glory, they don't want power, they don't want anything else, they want bread. They're reduced to such a low level of life that's all they care about is self-preservation. It's a sad commentary, but most of the world is into bread. But once you've got bread, we got bread in this country, plenty of bread. We're into something bigger. And if you think that security or safety or having bread and some other things, insurance policies and all kinds of stuff, that will not bring happiness. You can have all the insurance you want, it won't bring happiness. You can have all the things that secure you, and it won't bring happiness. And there are other things that make people happy, namely power, fame, having a great reputation, being somebody, making a name for yourself. Some people say, I've got bread enough, I've got security galore, but what really turns me on is manipulating people, having power over people. Do you know that's the name of the game by the big guys? That's what big guys are after. They've got plenty of food and security, but they're having a little fun playing on those chess boards, you know? And they like to, you know, manipulate IT&T, and, you know, that'll be the pawn, and then, you know, here's America over here, we'll make that the queen or something, you know. This one, they like to manipulate countries and people. That's a big game for people. Jesus was offered that game. Jesus said, no, man shall not live by bread alone. Jesus said, no, I won't throw myself off the temple that the angels might save me. I'm not into safety and security. God's my safety and security. Jesus was offered the kingdoms of this world if he'd only bow down and give glory to Satan, worship him, praise him. Jesus said, no, I don't want the glory of this world. It's already mine. What would I want with it? It's mine. How can you give me something that's mine? It is mine by right. He said, well, Adam gave it to me, the devil said. That's all right. I took it back. I just didn't tell you yet. I took it back. I paid the price. What you got, you cheater, you liar, I took it back. You just haven't been told yet. You haven't been informed. You're ignorant. So Satan still comes to man today who lives on the earth, who's ignorant, and says to him, this will make you happy. If you get into this, into this, into this, you will find glory. You will find happiness. It's a lie. There is nothing in all this world, not your marriage, not your church. I don't care what it is. If it's creaturely, it doesn't have any glory. You've got one thing and one thing only, and that's Jesus Christ. That's your glory. That's your happiness. Jesus Christ will be glorified in you. Have you got Jesus Christ? That's all. That's all there is. He is your all in all. If this world still turns you on, now I'm not saying don't you dare do it. What I'm saying is, look, if it really turns you on, then have at it. Because God says there's no glory in it. God says there's no life in it. God says it's vain. God says, you're after a something that doesn't really exist. It's not only evil, but it's evil because it doesn't even exist. There is no glory in this world. That's just puffed up junk. When somebody says, I'm better than someone else, or I'm gooder than you, you know, a lot of people still, yeah, good, amen. A lot of people in this church still think they're good. You know,
well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so.
Well, you are. And that just proved it right there. You know, it doesn't mean you're all equally junk before the cross, and you're all equally exalted if you've been humbled, because God humbles the exalted, but if you're humbled, he always exalts the humble. He only breaks in order to fill. He doesn't break to break. He doesn't break to punish. He only breaks to fill. He only humbles to exalt. He only puts down to bring up. He only takes away glory which wasn't yours anyway, so he can give you the true glory. He only says that's vain and empty and not true, so he can give you the truth. Now watch. When the word comes and says, here's a word we got in John 15, bear fruit. Now a lot of you then right away, as soon as you heard that vision, you said to yourself, I will bear fruit. How many said that? How many have said that? How many do say that? I will bear fruit for God. What happens? You determine, you believe, you set yourself, and you fall. Instead of bearing fruit, you were better off before you heard about bearing fruit. You're doing much better. But now you hear about bearing fruit. You find out what fruit means, like love your wives with all your heart. You know, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Isn't that exciting? Ah, oh, praise God. You know, that's bearing fruit. You know, love the brethren as Christ, you know, loved you. Isn't that exciting? Wonderful. Get up, you know, early in the morning to pray. Ah, praise God. Bearing fruit. Oh, it's so glorious. Now, see, once you start finding out what he meant by bearing fruit, suddenly the old vision drops down, you know. And, you know, at first when you heard that word, you were excited and your will was set and you said, I will bear fruit for God. You really seriously, sincerely determined to bear fruit for God. But I'm going to tell you what happened. Here's what happened. In you, there was a division. And that division was between the spirit and the flesh. And the flesh, if there's any flesh in you, and I don't know a person in this church yet who has completely conquered it. We have rankings. Those in the front rows are a little better than those in the back rows. But nobody has completely conquered it yet. If you have even a little bit of flesh in you, if you have any flesh in you, you will actually try to get glory. Have you noticed that? And so I've been reading the journals of the men. We've spent 6 months with the men, and they've kept a journal for those 6 months. And I've been reading those journals. And one of the interesting things about it is they get into the flesh so much. It's just sin all over the place. Now why? Why does that happen? Because when they started out, they said, I want to commit to go with God all the way. And then what happened? They didn't even want to keep their journals. You know, I will go with you, Lord, you know, and great fervor and, you know, real dedication and devotion. And then immediately it became a bore. You know, one man said over and over again, boy, this thing is a chore. I know it should be fun, but it's not. In all honesty, it's not. So that's, why is that? That's because you have a flesh. Now, don't be shocked or surprised. The word came precisely in order to bring out the flesh, not to get you to keep it. Not to get you so you'd say, yes, Lord, I will do it. I will go into the vineyard today. I will do this. I will do that. No, the word came to expose you and say, you cannot do it. And so you thought, oh, fooey, I'm just not doing it. Precisely, that's what God wanted to say. So when the first you see it, you feel real discouraged, and you think to yourself, this is getting frustrating. And then pretty soon you try harder. You get more depressed. You work harder at it. And then you get worse. And as I was reading these journals, I could just see them getting down thicker and thicker into the mud, you know? You know, and trying to throw it off. And then they'd sink down again. You know, I've kept the journal for 2 days. Pride. You know, and you know, it just would go down, down, down. Until you came to the point where you said to yourself, I cannot do it. I seek glory all the time, and I just can't help it. I just love glory. And I hate to admit it, but I do. Great. That's precisely what God wants. That is when God can say, do you see that there's nothing in you except glory seeking? Now, you know in your heart that you don't seek glory, but in your mind, you want it. In your behavior, you want it. In your emotions, you want it. But your mind, your emotions, your will is not the true you. The true you is what you are in your heart. In your heart, you love God. That's why you listened to the word and believed it and set your will. But then you just couldn't carry it out. But God always does that because we always go backward before we go frontward. We always go backward before we go frontward. We always go backward before we go frontward. Why? Because then God gets all the glory when he actually shows that you can bear fruit. Well, if you ever bear fruit after you've been honest with God, you'll know it wasn't you. If you ever do one decent thing in your life, you'll know it wasn't you, if you're honest. Isn't that true? Let's hear some more amens.
Amen.
If you do one good thing, just the smallest good thing, that wasn't you. That was a new you that God gave you. It's a gift. That's the glory of God. God will be glorified in you. It's no longer you that live, but Christ that liveth in you. It's God getting glory for himself, and God's a glory getter. And he chose you. You are his glorious vessel. You will make it. But you won't make it on your own. You'll make it because you won't make it. But because God, who has called you and chosen you, has picked the one that's the worst. That's you. He's picked the worst. He picked, you're just like Pharaoh. You're just like Haman. You're just like all the bad people in the Bible. Right? Every bad people in the Bible, that's you. You're just like the devil himself. You are. All of us are. And God knows that. And here's the trick on the devil. That because God said so, and because God's a glory getter, the devil says, you won't get those people because they're just like me, God. And God says, oh, yes, I will, because I said I will. And I get all the glory, and I will get a people. I will glorify myself, not in angels, frogs, or elephants. I'm going to glorify myself in people. And the devil says, no, you won't. I got them all. They're yucky, and they're mine. They worship me, and you're not going to get them. And God just came down and took away the kingdom, spoiled the strong man, broke his chains, and we're free. Amen?
Amen.
So when you start and you say, I'm going to, you're going to fall. But God, who gets trouble now, because he just won't accept second best, he wants perfection out of you, and that blows it. Because he wants you not just to do outward things, he wants you all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the time, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, to love your wife. Can you do it? No. Yes. The no is that you can't do it in the flesh, but the yes is I can do all things through him, which strengtheneth me. That's the glory of God. So God will be glorified in his saints. God's out to get glory. God's a glory getter, and he's getting glory. Do you feel it? You can't do it, but he can do it. It's no longer you, but yet it's you. Do you feel that? That's the mystery of our faith that the world doesn't know about. They can only talk one way. We can talk two ways. We can say, I can't, and I can. They can only say, I can, or I can't. But we can talk two ways. I can, and I can't, and I can't, and I can. I can, and I can't, and I can't, and I can. We can. Why? Because there's a mystery going on. The can't is my flesh, but the can is my spirit. Because the can is that God is getting glory, and he will have glory over Pharaoh. God will get glory over every sin in my life. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe that God wants every sin in your life to be gone? Now, we're not talking about sinless perfection, because that's the can't part. The minute you strive to or try to, and you will because you got a flesh, you will fail. But the minute you fail and you say, oh, God, I just can't do it, God says, good, it's about time you found out. Now, confess that by my spirit, I will do what you couldn't do. Do you believe that? Yes, I do. Good, then say so. I will do it. Now, that's real hard when you've just failed. I can't stop lusting. I can't stop being greedy. I can't stop being self-pitying. I can't stop being afraid. Be not afraid. Ooh, okay, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm afraid I'm not going to be afraid. I'm afraid of that. You know, you can't do it. You can't do one thing. Every time you set yourself, your flesh gets in there and tries to get a little glory. And that's great. That's good. Let it get in there and try to get glory. Because it won't be able to when you seek the highest. You cannot bear glory. And so Nebuchadnezzar found that out. Pharaoh found that out. Satan found that out. Everyone has found that out. When you challenge God, he always wins. He always gets glory. And you challenge God. You let your flesh get out there and try to get glory. Don't hold it back and dress it up and clean it up and keep it in the back room. Let it out. Say, God, in my flesh, I'm going to help you out. But do you a favor. You know, you've got in me a wonderful person. You've chosen correctly. I will be able to rest in you. No, you won't. I will be able to not be greedy. Yes, you will. You know, whatever you say, you won't be able to keep. But God has already done it, and that's the glorious thing. Do you see that? Now, that's how you grow in the Lord. That kind of dynamic thing makes for very wise people. The minute you set yourself, you think to yourself, I have a pure desire here to please God with all my heart. But what actually takes place is in every single case, the flesh is there. Now, don't say to yourself, well, I will arrive at such a place where my flesh will not be there. Yes, it will. Because as long as you live, you will have a flesh. So don't say to yourself, I want to be at such a place where I will never want to sin again. Has anybody ever thought that? I think a lot of you have. You thought, you know, when I get baptized or when I get saved or when I get filled with the Holy Ghost or something, I'm never going to want to sin again. I'm going to be so in love with God. Or after this service today, I'm so inspired. You know, this is a pretty inspiring service. Yeah, I'm so inspired. I could live for God all in, oh, I'll never fall. I've got it. I've got a whole, you'll fall. You'll fall sooner or later. Now, we're not into having you fall. We're just telling you, you will and it's okay. Because God's already made provision for it. So go ahead and fall. Because even though the righteous fall seven times, the Lord will lift him up. Because, why? Not because of you, not because of you, not because of you, not because of you, but because God is a glory getter. And God's going to get glory. And God has chosen you, and you are the only ones, you are the only ones, you are the only ones, not elephants, frogs, and anyone else, and not the wicked. We don't know who the wicked are. There's no way to know. Only God knows. But there are those that will never come. But you are the ones that God has chosen. And whosoever will may come. So everyone's potential may be a glory bearer, may bear the glory of God, may be a Christopher, a light bearer, may be someone who bears the light, the glory, the weight, the beauty, the rarity of God. That's you. Do you believe that you are chosen of God to bear that glory? Let's pray, and I want you to pray with me. Father, I am your child. I know that you alone deserve glory. You are the glorious Lord. There is no other. All else is vain. There is no other name but the name of Jesus, by which we must be saved. He is the King of glory. And you are his Father. And you have called me into the beloved Son to bear glory. You will not share it. And yet you do. Because we are in him. I am in the beloved. I am glorious. My life is glorious. I bear fruit for God. Not in my own strength, but in the strength of God. The wise man cannot glory in his wisdom. The rich man cannot glory in his riches. But I will glory in the Lord my God. And you will see to it that you get glory in me over all the hosts of hell. I am your bearer of glory. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Right, come on up here.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God's good.